Great.
Well, that's not working.
Skipping video is not working. It's like the old days again.
Great intro video. I know. It was a video of rats cooking in New York City.
we were going to have Anthony go and eat one, see how many of you would give us super chats for it.
The we did have a very angry woman in our Michael Hitchborn intro with the woman crashing video.
Like you said, it weeds them out.
Yeah, she was not a fan. Not funny. I have permanent damage to my whatever because of an accident from a man. It's like, do people really not get, like, I don't know, man. Like,
I don't get it either. I don't.
Like, why do people take everything so, like, make everything about themselves? It's such a strange thing. There's supposed to be a natural tension between men and women. There's just supposed to be. Like, there's supposed to be this... You know, this little bit of animosity there. It's kind of like one of my favorite colors. It's kind of like the Italian Irish thing that I goof on all the time. Like, I don't really dislike Irish. I'm half Irish. It's a goof. I'm joking around. So I make jokes about the Irish, and it gets old. Like, people that are Irish get so mad at me. And I'm like, do you guys not get the gag? I don't get it.
They're Irish. They get mad at everything. They're just always mad. They're Irish.
I learned something. That if you wear orange on St. Patrick's Day, that's like offensive, and I never heard that.
Well, it's a Protestant thing.
So yeah, so it has to do with the Northern Ireland being Protestant, so they would wear Irish specifically to make the Catholics mad. But then I was getting like the Uber Catholic Irish telling me, no, you're supposed to wear blue for Our Lady, but I never heard that tradition. Everybody wears green on St. Patrick's Day. Pretty much that I've seen. Have you ever, did you even know that? Or was that common?
The orange thing? I knew the orange thing. I hadn't heard the blue thing before, though.
Yeah, I never heard any of it. So I really don't know much about my Irish heritage. It's like my mom's mom.
Joe, my favorite color is maroon.
I don't have a favorite color.
You always wear a black shirt.
This just, I don't know. It's just, I don't buy my clothes. My wife does. But she knows I don't I do typically wear black, gray. Like, I don't, I'm not into festive colors and stuff. But I tried sitting through the Pearl and Michael Knowles thing today. And it was it was pretty hard to sit through, man. Like, she's just dumb. She's just not bright. Like, Michael would like ask her, like challenge her perspective a little, and she would just go, no, Michael, they need to have mandatory DNA testing. It's like, what?
Oh, when kids are born?
Yeah, mandatory DNA testing. What, why? Not every guy marries a floozy. I don't understand why. Like, I wouldn't need mandatory DNA testing on my children.
Bonfire, because have you ever tried walking on the beach? It is a pain in the butt with that sand.
I'm not a beach fan, which is strange because I live on Long Island, but that's the compromises. I have a boat because my wife loves the beach and I don't like the beach, and I just hate the sand. Like, I hate having sand in everything. It's not fun. And like, you just sit out there baking in the sun. At least if I'm on a boat, I'm moving a little, it's much more enjoyable. But yeah, she's just hard to listen to. All right, what was that? We attend a Diocesan TLM, contemplating moving an hour and a half away to Louisiana, go to the SSPX, or a TLM community that skirts Traditionis Custodis, doing it to immerse ourselves in a traditional community. I think if you're going to move, your moving should be dependent on finding a good church like that. So if we ever move, that will be the number one thing I'm focused on.
And right now, like, moving to anything but like the SSPX is risky, right? Because they could be taken, even the Ecclesia Dei communities could be taken away.
They're safer than your diocesans, though.
They're safer than the diocesan. Yeah. It's Anthony's 50th birthday, everyone.
32, not 50. Dude, that was a nice Christmas. Nice birthday present, though. 10,000, right?
Yeah, that was fun.
Will I be attending St. Vincent's again Saturday as a TLM, 9:30 a.m. St. Vincent Ferrer in Manhattan? This is very sweet. If you mean St. Vincent Ferrer, if I knew they had a 9:30 on Saturdays, that would be awesome. I would go to that. Tomorrow I am going to St. Rocco's though. Yeah, what's your favorite food, Rob? This Ooh. Is so funny. I said to Rob, I'm like, dude, what are people even gonna ask us?
That's tough. I would say, you know, I don't know if you want a broad answer like Chinese or Italian or whatever. I would say there's two dishes that are my favorite. There's something called Holsteiner Schnitzel. That's German. It's a schnitzel basically. Well, just like it says. But then there's pelmeni, which is like Russian little meat dumplings. So those are my two favorite.
Yeah, you're a weird dude. Like for my birthday, my wife asked what I wanted, and we can't eat it today because it's Lent and I gave up bread and cheese. But tomorrow for St. Patrick's Day and Sunday, I'm like, I want eggplant parm. Like that's my.
You want what?
That's my eggplant parm.
Really?
Yeah,
more so than like chicken.
Yeah, well, my wife makes it for sure. It has okay. to only my wife makes. Like, I would never get it at a. I would never get that at a restaurant ever.
Let's see. Like, here.
It'll just be soggy mush. dude, that aunt, my 54-year-old father looked at all.
Jeez, Thursday.
Man, your dad's 54. That's crazy.
I'm not that weird. Tobias knows what's up.
What was I gonna say? Oh, I was saying to Rob, like, it is actually pretty wild that we got to 10,000 as quick as we did because we jumped in the YouTube game pretty late, man. Like if we had started in early 2020, right when the pandemic hit, we'd have like 150,000 right now. Like that was like the heyday of, you know what I mean? Like that was when everybody's shows took off. What are you laughing at?
Well, first, just thank you, Thursday, and thank you, ENN. But this one.
Is Rob of Jewish ancestry? Is that because it was pro?
No, I'm not, believe it or not. And for a long time, I thought maybe there was some African ancestry because I carry a blood trait like sickle cell anemia. And that's usually African. But before. Well, it was probably 4 years ago. I did one of those stupid DNA test things. There's no African DNA. So,
do these two guys hold opposing views on this? I thought Sungenis was pretty based on the Jews. I don't know Sungenis that well. I know him from I saw the principal documentary.
Yeah, the geocentrism stuff.
Yeah, which I thought was pretty interesting. But I didn't know they had a differing view on it. I thought Sungenis had a pretty similar stance to EMJ, but that's just like a cursory.
Who would you rather have debate Father Martin and James Martin and Ben Shapiro? None of them.
I wouldn't want to see either of those.
I really don't want to see any
Horn versus Father James Martin.
Yeah, maybe like that.
That I honestly can't. I don't want to see anything with Dylan Mulvaney.
I cannot look at a picture of
him. No, I can't look at him. I get nauseous. Like I don't understand I think libs of TikTok. Like I have libs of TikTok muted. I have no desire to watch that garbage. I don't care what they're doing. And the thing is, her highlighting it is making it more prevalent, and it's making it the cultural issue in the conversation in the public. I don't see how it helps to be constantly talking about the trans issue. Like
there's more central issues really than that. Like that's just downstream from everything else.
I would say this, if you are, if you're raising your children in a traditional home and you are a masculine man and your wife is a feminine woman and you hold traditional roles in your home, you, for the most part, will not have to worry about the transition. your kids will just see the way you and your spouse are, mm-hmm. and they will just pick up on it. Like, the kids that suffer with that stuff are largely coming from broken homes. The parents have a really crazy marriage. It's, if it's a girl transitioning to a guy, it's because she has major hurt that was caused by a man. And she doesn't have any kind of a healthy male relationship. But if you have a pretty traditional marriage, and I'm not even saying like patriarchy stuff, like I'm just saying, like, if you are masculine and your wife is feminine, you're not generally going to have to deal with that stuff. You know, if you're a good father, your son will want to be like you. If you're a good mother, your daughters will want to be like you. And that's the best way to combat this stuff. You know, I don't care what the school is telling your kids. I mean, they shouldn't. Thank you very much, Don. Yeah, that's kind of my position on that. Like, I don't, because I saw when I went away with my brother-in-law, he was kind of freaking out about that. He's like, oh, well, you know, they got your kids longer than you have them. And I'm like, well, then take your kids out of school. But yeah. Even if not, when they come home, like, you're playing baseball with your son in the backyard, you're doing things with him. Those kids, like, his boys idolize him. His boys literally idolize him. I'm like, dude, your kids want to be you. You don't have to worry about your boy wanting to be a girl. It's just not something that you're going to have to worry about. You know, I think, you know, if your kid even has same-sex attraction pretty early on, like, you know, I would imagine. I mean, I'm, you know, speaking out of pocket.
Right. let's see here. This one's kind of an interesting I know he means it as a joke, but so Nick says, when did you become a crypto seed? Was it before 1,000 or 5,000 subs? And it's interesting because anyone who's watched us since the beginning, we were really reluctant to talk about any church drama or hierarchy stuff. I mean, it was just trivia.
And even past that, there was a conversation we had to have. The change happened with our conversation with Patrick Coffin.
That first one with him?
The first conversation with Patrick Coffin, you and I were both like, all right, so what do we want to do here? It's like, because I remember talking to him about it. I remember saying to him, you know, Rob and I have been kind of just staying out of this stuff and not having any opinion, not because we didn't have opinions on it, but we were very afraid to reveal our father's nakedness, I would say, right? Like, it's more just a matter of respecting your fathers. And it's still something I worry about.
Yeah.
It's not something I take lightly. It's something that does cause me to hesitate a little bit. So,
I mean, I've made thumbnails that are, I make them and I'm like, this would draw views, but it's a little,
yeah, it's too much. You know what I mean? Yeah. And that too, like, I mean, when you really think about, you're going to be held accountable for every single word. I mean, I think back on some of the tweets I've made and I'm like, oh man,
I made one yesterday that was bad. And thankfully I had a friend call me out. So,
oh yeah. Well, it's going to happen. I deleted one you told me to delete yesterday.
Oh yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I deleted one you told me to delete yesterday. So
what scares you and what makes you extremely happy? What scares me is when I get a text from Anthony, he goes, dude, I have an idea. Oh no.
I'll tell you one thing. I've never had a day where I wasn't elated with joy out on the boat. Like, it's just one of those things. When I go out on the boat with my family, everybody has a good time. Everybody's happy the entire time. We've never had a day where we went out where anyone was in a bad mood. So I would say that's something that makes me extremely happy. Like, it's just a fun thing to do. You know, like, so I get a company vehicle, so I don't have to pay a car payment.
Right.
You know, so my boat is, I bought a used boat and it's just essentially a car payment. So it's not like I'm like some fancy guy with a crazy boat. It's just a car payment, you know? Yeah. Thank you guys for all the birthday wishes. But yeah, it's one of those things that the memories that I had with my kids on that thing, I don't think I could ever replace with anything. You know, there's no other memories that they'll look back on with. That's the other thing. Like, as a parent, you want to make sure your kids look back on their childhood with fond memories.
Yep.
You know, and I remembered growing up myself, my favorite things to do were going out on my dad's boat and skiing. Like, my dad took us skiing when we were kids. And my dad had an accident when we were kids, and he got his foot run over by a tractor trailer out on the job, and he couldn't ski anymore. And I remember being devastated that, like, he would still take us, but he couldn't do it with us anymore. Like, I remember being really sad that my dad couldn't do it with us anymore. So, like, it's part of the reason I'm so glad I had kids young. Like, having kids later in life, your body breaks down and you can't do a lot of things with your kids. Like, having kids when you're young, you're able to still do a lot of physical activities with your kid that you really can't do when you're older. So,
let's see. We got a couple here. Ooh, this is a good one. Who's our favorite guest?
I wouldn't say Mel is my favorite guest anyway.
I agree.
Like, Mel wasn't my favorite guest, especially because
cool having him on, but
yeah, it's one of those things like how the hell did we get Mel Gibson on? And that's 100% credit to Father Nick's, right? But I didn't really get to interact with him much. And a lot of people were like saying I was starstruck. I wasn't starstruck. I was told, shut up. Not really. It wasn't like that. But I was told, like, I was very limited in what I was allowed to ask. And we had a couple of technical difficulties, I'd say. So, you know, but my favorite guest, man. I mean, I'm obviously going to have my go-to is, like, Hitchborne. I've had such a great. What's funny about Hitchborne is when we get him on for the main show and we cover, like, a topic, they're always good, but they're nothing like the locals' conversations.
Right. Yeah.
Like, we just posted the clip of that Weinstein thing, and it's a short clip. That thing did like 10,000 views in 24 hours. I was like, holy cow, that went crazy. But meanwhile, the other clip from that show where we were talking about the Long Island Medium.
Thanks, Steve.
If we could put that clip of the Long Island Medium up, I think that would do better. But I can't put that clip up because I tell too much personal information. That's a good one.
I did love both shows with your sister.
That's a good one, yeah.
The favorite kind of interview has, for me, is our first Gavin Ashenden interview.
That just, was awesome, just yeah.
The firsthand experiences he has had has just been incredible, but it wasn't really an interview, but Nancy
Charles conversion story
was amazing.
The Gavin interview, that first Gavin Ashenden interview, because it was so unexpected.
Yeah.
Like, you guys don't understand. We were just trying to think of things to talk to Gavin Ashenden about. And it's like, okay, we could ask him about his conversion. Like, he was a chaplain for the Queen of England, you know, but he had told that story a bunch of times. Yeah. And Rob texts me like 10 minutes before the show with this little blurb on his website talking about smuggling Bibles into Russia.
Into the Soviet Union. Yeah.
Into the Soviet Union.
Getting arrested by the KGB. I'm like, why have I not heard this in any interview?
But it wasn't even that deep. Rob was just like, you should ask him about this. Like, we were just like, so when we get on the show, it was just like, Gavin, we saw this little blurb on your website, and he proceeds to tell us a story that me and Rob are like, this needs to be an action movie. This is not even normal. The conversation
you could literally make, you could, that would be a hilarious comedy action movie,
dude. Especially him like pretending he's gay to the Russian KGB agent.
You know who would be? I could see like Jack Black doing it. Or something like that, you know.
I would say the highlights, though, right? Okay, so let's go through the progression of the show, right? So we start off, and it's like, okay, trivia is our flagship. We'll make trivia the flagship. We'll do that once a week, and then we're like, let's throw a second show in every week, and we'll do different things on it. So it started off, we were just doing like cultural commentary, right? Those first bunch of shows, it was like, I was trying to find stuff in
like Roe had just fallen. So we talked about that. We did a Mass of the Ages review show.
That's true. We also did like, I would pull Rogan clips and be like, Joe Rogan's daughter is messing with the occult. And I would pull, I pulled a video of that guy Russo, like, cause I was going back through some of the older stuff and just looking, but the highlights were, I think the game changer was Father Isaac.
Yes, that was our first show to break 10,000.
It was a game changer for us. It was like, okay, this thing has potential, right? So we're going through Well, first off, I have to say, like, we got a lot of guests on that we really had no business getting on when we only had 1,000 subs.
Yeah.
Right. And that was just because I was friendly with people on Twitter and just kept bugging them until they said yes.
And they're so just good people. You know,
and they're just generally, genuinely good people to like, I mean, they're coming on a show that hardly anybody's going to see. It was like the first the first Eric Salmons interview only had like 200 views or something. It's like, no, of course. Like he was one of my first. So it's like Tim Flanders, Eric Salmons, Tim Gordon came on, Taylor Marshall came on, but all those guys came on when we had like 2,000 subs, you know, like under that. And then it just, I think so then we had Father Isaac on, that kind of gave us like this huge jump. And, but I think the real moment it felt like, okay, we're on an upward trajectory was after I went to the Canceled Priest conference. Like after I went to that conference, like my talk was on their website. I met a lot of people. So I was able to have conversations like after meeting people face to face. And it was just kind of like,
well, that really kickstarted your friendship with Father Nix.
Yeah.
We got to meet Kennedy in person. Eric in person.
Yeah. That conference was really, really good for our channel. Other highlights, that first Patrick Coffin interview was huge.
Yeah.
How the hell did I get, we were talking about his book for so long and I managed to get Tom Holland on the show and that show didn't even do that good.
No, it didn't.
That interview should have done so much better and it really didn't do that great.
No, but it showed we could get people like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, at least to ourselves anyways.
That's a good question.
This one.
Oh, sorry. Oh yeah. You can put that one up first.
Yeah. I said we would do this one next.
How to revert my grandmother, 70-ish years old without the faith, brought her to the traditional mass, thought it would click negative. I think the older generation is like my mom is not that she hates it. She's just not, my mom is a boomer. She's 66. And she is not a fan of the traditional mass. Like, she's just like, she bought into all of the, the rhetoric of the time where it's like, oh, you don't even understand what they're saying and all that. Like, my mom just was a child of the 60s and she just bought into all that rhetoric. So she's just not,
My grandma's 93. She doesn't like it.
Yeah, I think a lot of us don't realize how checked out people were during that period. Like people were going to mass, but I really don't think there was like a devotion to the liturgy. I think faith was on the decline at the time. And I think the church was trying to revive it and they thought this would spice it up and it just made things 1,000 times worse.
What other ones do we have here?
That's a good question that I have. All right. So would you go to Callum Robinson for confession in an emergency?
An emergency because he would have faculties in that situation.
Yeah.
But otherwise he doesn't have faculties. So no.
Yeah. The same might even go for Father Maudsley though. So I know somebody that went to Father Maudsley for confession. He goes, no, I don't have faculties. I can't hear your confession. So Father Maudsley would, you know, readily admit that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Why are you going to talk to Paleo?
I think he probably means when. But
when are you going to talk to?
Whenever Jeremiah wants to come on.
I'd have him on in a second. We were trying to plan something on the meaning of Catholic. Me and Nick Cavazos were trying to urge them because they always do the morning OLV show.
Yeah.
On Mondays, but like I'm at work at that time, I could never join that. But me and Nick were trying to tell them like, why don't we do an evening show and we'll get everybody and we'll all have a conversation, maybe hammer out our differences. But I don't know if Jeremiah's interested in it. I really don't. I don't know if he's interested in even having conversations with someone like me. So
yeah, those filthy Italians.
What are your thoughts on E. Michael Jones? I don't recall you guys discussing him. I think he is brilliant when it comes to his thoughts on how architecture is destroying destroying everything. I think he's brilliant when it comes to libido dominandi. I think he's brilliant when it comes to the Jewish revolutionary spirit. My biggest departure from E. Michael Jones is his thoughts on the liturgy.
Yeah.
And I think that he doesn't even think through his own implications, because I actually learned something important from him, because he says, he talks about the ghettoization of Catholics because of the traditional liturgy. But what he fails to recognize is that ghettoization happens naturally in the Novus Ordo, because you get liberal parishes and conservative parishes. So you already have a ghettoizing of different types. So it's like, if you could still be at a traditional Latin mass and still recognize Francis as the Pope, you're still in the same situation as somebody who goes to a conservative Novus Ordo and recognizes Francis as the Pope. I don't see the difference. So that would be my major, divergence from E. Michael Jones, but I think he's a brilliant thinker. I think he's got a lot of things right. Do you find manual labor for a job more fulfilling, and what tips would you give for someone wanting to live that lifestyle? Man, that's a hard question, because my job itself, I love the fact that I have a 2-hour commute home is what eats my soul. The thing is, a manual labor job in itself is not going to be fulfilling. What I find fulfilling is the relationships I have with the guys I work with. I have a lot of younger guys that look up to me on that job and that I care about a lot, that I would consider little brothers almost. The awesome part about my job is that because my uncle owns it, all of my brothers work there. So I've been able to stay close with my brothers. My whole family stayed local on Long Island because of that company. If it wasn't for that company, brothers would have went out of state to get work, and my family would have shattered. But the fact that my uncle owns that company kept all my brothers together. I see my brothers every single day, and we all have good relationships. Like, we love one another, and that's a rare thing. So the manual labor thing can, like, it can be hard. I'll say that, especially in the winters, you're outside working like that. But I don't see myself ever being able to work in a cubicle like Rob. I don't think I could ever do what you do.
As someone who's done both, because I've done tree trimming, where you're up in the 80 feet up in the tree in the middle of winter and stuff like that. And I mean, you're right, it's hard, and there's times it really sucks. But when you're done at the end of the day, I can definitely say that I felt more fulfilled at the end of those days than I do turning off my computer at my desk at 4:30. There's not a lot of, you just feel more fulfilled as a man.
Just being outside working from my desk. Sitting at a desk all day is tedious, man. It's like you're just sitting there, you're freaking, it does more damage to your back than lifting sacks of concrete. It's crazy.
Very true. Yes.
I think I'd always, like, even when I retire, I'm still going to have projects in my yard that I'll be doing. I'll always do something with my hands. I don't think I could ever just not, like, even if, let's say hypothetically, this thing got so big that me and you were able to have in-person interviews and, like, we were on the level of Matt Fratt or something, right?
Right.
I don't know if I could just do this. I don't know.
Now, what I like about this, where even though it is desk work in a sense, it's still creative. Like,
yeah.
Or there's something at the end, you have something at the end that is concrete. Whereas, like, so even when you're cutting down a tree, at the end, you can take a look at this new area you opened up in someone's yard, or you can look at all the wood that you just could, there's something concrete there.
Yeah.
When we're doing something like this, even though it's sitting at the desk, when I'm done, not so much with these streams, but like when I make a new intro video or something like that, it's like, I made that. You know what I mean?
I would say even more than that, while I'm at my regular manual labor job, I'm daydreaming about this. Like, I love doing this.
Yeah.
Like people, because you see a lot of criticism of, like, everybody's got a freaking podcast now, right? It's like, oh, you're a podcaster, right? It's like, yeah, all right, we're podcasters, but we're obviously not doing it for the money. We don't make money doing this. Like, this is, if I'm able to maybe pay one grocery bill a month with what we make on this, it's all right, that's cool. We pay maybe one or two grocery bills for the for the month with what we do here. It's still something I love to do. I love to get on and just hang out and talk, because I don't have people in my real life that we would ever discuss these things with. And there's other guys doing what we do, but I think we do it in a unique way. I really do. I don't think I've had people tell me watching your podcast made other podcasts seem boring in the Catholic sphere. Like they don't enjoy the other shows as much anymore because they don't feel like they're hanging out like they do when they're watching our show. Like, this seems more like a group of friends hanging.
Yeah. Speaking about making money, how much more would you need to make so you don't have to work on Saturdays?
We're coming up on that soon. I didn't work today. So right now I've cut out 2 Saturdays a month. So I used to work every single Saturday. I've cut down to 2 Saturdays a month because I can't do it anymore. The 6 days a week, waking up at 4 a.m. Let's put it this way. So waking up at 4 a.m., out the door by 4:20, working all day, sitting in 2 hours of traffic coming home. Sometimes I get home at 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock at night, getting in the shower, eating something to eat real quick, getting on air, doing a show, getting off at 10. Like, sometimes it just feels like I don't have a minute. And now I just went back to the gym today. So on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays, I'm going to be going to the gym when I get home from work. I need the Saturdays, man. So, like, we're almost at a point where we're making enough with this show that I could be a little more relaxed with the Saturday thing. A little bit.
If we not doubled, but close to that, what we're doing now, I wouldn't need to work with my second job. So,
yeah. And it would just be nice to have more time with my family, you know? And we do put a lot into this show, man. We really do. Yeah. We put a lot into this. You guys don't realize how often me and Rob are talking with each other, texting, like, what do you think about that? Because we do the show and then the stupid clip editing afterward, and Rob's making thumbnails and just trying to, like, what actually worked? Like, what should we do again because it worked? And it's hard to be entertaining. You know, like, people don't realize it's not that easy to entertain people. Like, why the hell are people tuning in? They're tuning in. You have to have some reason that they enjoy watching you. Are we going to go hard on the next Mass of the Ages review? We're going to go honest. Yeah. I'm not going to go hard. I'm almost glad that I can be honest about it. You know, it's, I was probably a little too nice on episode 2. There was definitely some criticisms I had. I'm just going to be honest about it. Like, because the thing is, no matter what, I'm going to have a positive review on it, just because I think it's awesome that we're getting people to see this beautiful liturgy that they never even, a lot of people never even heard of. Like, that conversation that we played the other day with the Weinstein clip, it's documentaries like Mass of the Ages that are getting people to even go, wait, what the heck is this thing? I want to go check it out.
Yeah.
It's exactly. Strange. It's strange because for all the things they tried to change in the new evangelization, the old evangelization never fails. It just never fails. I don't know if we ever will, because
we're willing to talk to anyone of good faith. And I don't know if he is.
So, like, I have Michael's phone number. Somebody sent it to me because I was, after our first criticism of him, I was going to reach out to him and I was going to try and just be like, come on, man. Like, I don't want, and I still don't dislike him. Like, I don't dislike him. I dislike his content. There's a very big difference. Like, I honestly wish nothing but the best for the man himself. Like, he's a father raising a family and stuff. I don't ever want anything. I just dislike the way he just mischaracterizes people's positions and very sophist in his arguments and stuff. ENNV. Best advice for a 20-year-old.
There's so much.
Yeah, you want to narrow that down, or you want, like, marriage advice?
Because we have a whole video on that.
No, best advice for a 20-year-old, just take your faith seriously. Like, really take your faith seriously. Try not to drift away. Do not look at pornography. Like, I know that's the hardest thing in the world as a 20-year-old, man. Like, seriously, seriously stay away from that filth. Try to find yourself a good woman And from the beginning of that relationship, cherish that woman and make sure that you guys are on the same page for everything. Because a lot, look, the thing is with that Pearl and Noel's interview, Pearl is right about a lot of stuff, man. Like, women, really modern women, are a mess, and a lot of it, and modern men are too, though. That's the thing. Mm-hmm. Like, modern men are looking at filth on the internet. Like, there's so much baggage in being a younger guy these days. There's things that you guys are dealing with that I didn't even deal with when I was 20. So, you know, nurturing a good relationship, if you find somebody, is difficult, but it's worth doing. Because I do think if you meet somebody at 20 and you, it's easier to make a relationship work that from like high school sweetheart type thing or early 20s type thing than if you meet somebody later on. Not that it's impossible. It's just more difficult when you meet somebody later on. It just is.
What are our favorite Catholic YouTube channels?
All the people that I enjoyed watching, I've gotten on the show. Right. So, my favorite Catholic YouTube channels.
Have you found you watch or consume less of it since you've been doing it?
I still watch a lot of other guys, what they're doing, because I want to stay up to date on what everybody's doing. And I like to know, you know, what approach other guys are taking and stuff.
Oh, wait, hold on. This is the one I meant to click.
Oh, Sensus Fidelium by far. Yeah, because that's all.
It's probably the most valuable, like, in terms of sure. the resources it has.
Yeah. I wasn't even thinking. I was thinking like content. Like, I wouldn't say Steve himself. Like, not Steve, but the Sensus Fidelium channel for sure. I'm not saying Clown World is. No, not Clown World. Yeah, I still like, it's hard to like say what my favorite is. I would say I've been leaning more towards watching like documentary type stuff lately. So I've been listening to less commentary, that's for sure.
Yeah. You
know, less commentary. And it depends what the topic is. Like, it depends what the topic is. Like, let's
I'll tell my favorite Catholic YouTube content I've ever watched was like the history of Hispanic Catholicism on Meaning of Catholic.
Yeah,
for anyone that has not seen that series, it's amazing, because it's like everything you learn in school, were just lies. Just complete lies.
Yeah. And it's also very dependent on what a person is discussing. So like there's some interviews on Pints with Aquinas that I'm like, oh, this is a great interview. Mm-hmm. There's some interviews on Taylor's channel that I'm like, oh, this is a great interview. And I do tend to enjoy discussions more than a single person talking into a camera, giving his commentary. It's just the way I'm wired. I'd rather hear a guy be able to bounce ideas off another guy, and, you know, vice versa. Yeah. Just.
I do think the stuff Joshua Charles is going to be putting out is going to be top notch. I feel like that's right up my alley with what I want. But
yeah.
Let's see here. There was a couple of good quick ones we should be able to do. Like, what are our favorite titles for our blessing?
My favorite title is The Mediatrix of All Graces, because it's the one that enrages the Protestants the most.
Or Co-Redemptrix.
Co-Redemptrix, yeah. just because it enrages the Protestants.
For me, it's either like Mater Dei or I love Our Lady of Fatima. So those are a couple of mine. Let's see here. A couple of other quick ones. Who are our confirmation saints?
You want to know what's funny?
I went to a
modernist parish. They didn't let us pick a confirmation
saint. What?
Yeah. Growing up, my parish was so modernist that they didn't let us pick confirmation saints. Like, I had to get confirmed as Anthony. Like, I'm thinking about getting a conditional confirmation.
It's not a bad idea.
I'm really considering it, getting a conditional confirmation.
Can I be your sponsor?
Like who would you pick? Who would I pick?
Yeah.
As a confirmation saint. Who's yours?
St. Ignatius of Loyola. That's why I got a statue of him behind me there.
That's a good one. So the thing is, I would want to really like pick a unique one, like, cause I'm weird like that. Like I would want to go deep into, and it would probably be a very early saint. Like church fathers early, you know, I don't know, maybe Augustine,
you mean like or Irenaeus or
yeah, maybe St. Irenaeus, like something like that. Like I would want to go that route.
Yeah.
Who was the first man? I read about it in Tom Holland's book too. Man, I can't remember. Yeah, I don't know. Let me think on that. I'll give you that one after.
Oh man, we're getting a lot of questions coming in.
Good. That's what I was hoping you guys would give us questions because we were like, what are we going to talk about?
Okay, so let's do some of the paid ones here. Make sure we get to them. Ever consider doing book review shows? We've had interviews with people on books, and the problem is it is really hard to read the books in time.
Well, the thing is, if we had enough people that wanted to do them, like if it was something in locals, right, where guys were like or
like a,
people
like a book
men club. And women, obviously, but if like everybody wanted to do like a book club type thing in locals, I would definitely do something like that. And it would especially if the book is on audiobook, because I would devour it for the locals thing. So if people in local, we should have, I want to make our locals more
interactive like that.
Yeah, like I feel like, because what we do is everybody goes in locals, but I don't interact. I don't like the way it's laid out. So we try to tell everybody, like, if you're in locals, we'll give you the Telegram, because I interact on Telegram a lot better than I do on locals. Also, if you're in locals and you know, and I don't follow you on Twitter, I'll follow you. You can shoot me a DM and stuff like that. I have no issue with anybody that watches our show shooting me a DM and things like that. Like, it's not like I get so many that I can't answer them, you know?
Yeah. No, not that one.
Hold on. No, let's go with the
which one? Oh yeah.
Do you think the future pope? Because if you guys are paying, we're obviously going to hit yours first. Okay, so I'm of two minds about it. I honestly, if I had to say, I think we're getting a good pope next. I really think that I think that.
What do you mean by good pope? Do you mean Benedict good, or do you mean like?
I think that's the best you can get out of the current crop. I don't think there is better than that. But what I think is, if you got a man in the mold of Benedict the 16th, he would become more orthodox as time goes on, because he would see the pressure coming upon him, and iron would sharpen iron. It would just be, he'd have no choice. He'd have to either go full-fledged St. Pope Pius the 10th, or he'd just have to go to Francis the second route. Like, there's no in-between. There is no backtracking from Francis without persecution.
Yeah.
There's no such thing as just like a dial back from Francis. It's just, like, any dial back is going to be met with an uproar. It's just going to. I think schism is after Francis.
Probably.
That is what I think. I think schism comes after Francis. How that works, I don't know, but I think there will be a separation. I think it's going to be ugly. I really do. I think it'll be ugly. But there's something to that. God needs to look, the church is in such a bad state. There is no human way to fix it. It's not like if you get like a decent pope next that he'll start, like, do you know the process that it would take to start elevating good bishops and then get them into the cardinalate? Like, we just have a sewer at the top right now. So what needs to happen is you need to have persecution. It's the only way. The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. Like, it needs to be cleansed. And the way it gets cleansed is by outside persecution, not inside, you know, inside persecution from our hierarchy. Mm-hmm. It needs to come from outside. And the people who actually take the faith seriously need to batten down the hatches and go, okay, we're in this. We can't, we believe what we believe. And the people that don't believe the faith truly are going to leave because they're not going to want to deal with it. And that's when saints and martyrs are made, man. And that's the only way this works.
What are your thoughts on permanent deacons who are married? Is it anathema for those with the traditional bent? So it was a couple years ago at this point, but I considered it. I'd actually, in our diocese, you have to get a recommendation letter from your parish priest. And I talked with the local parish priest at that time to kind of get the ball rolling. But then he went on a leave of absence for health reasons. So that never happened. But I've since talked with our newer local parish priest, and he said something that really made me think about it. He said he's never met a permanent deacon, because most of them are married with kids. He's never met one that was both a good deacon and a good father and husband.
Wow.
So that kind of sealed it for me. I don't think the move of allowing permanent deacons was probably a great move in the,
in the church. I do have thoughts on this. So I think that the men who become permanent deacons, a lot of them have like a deep reversion later in life, and they just want to be a part of helping. Like, that's the same thing with extraordinary ministers. Extraordinary ministers, like, I know we goof on them. These are typically people who love Catholicism, and they want to participate and help the church. And their motives are always in a good place, but they just don't realize the damage they're doing, right? Like,
and I think it allows them a way to involve themselves without having to deal with women. It's about the only place in the church where you can get involved without having to be a girls' club.
Yeah. Yeah. So the deacon thing, though, the thing is, a permanent deacon, even if they're married, I feel like if you're going to become a permanent deacon, you should have to take a vow of chastity, right? Like it should be like, I don't know. It's a rough one because the church is the one that has the authority to make that choice. Like you have to recognize that still. So if church makes that, like the church has the authority to make that exception. The couple of permanent deacons that I've known, like they get to preach at mass once in a while. And it's just like, can we just get the priest back up there? Like, you know, they have good intention and it's better than having a woman do it. But like, it's the permanent deacon thing is leading to women deacons, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah. Is my video screwed up for everyone?
You're just freezing on me.
Okay. I don't know what I probably can't fix it during the stream, but whatever. Yeah.
I don't know if you're freezing up in the, because I'm only in the start.
Everyone's saying yes. Okay. That sucks, but. Okay. Here's one.
Well, how about the audio? Can you at least hear the audio good?
Yeah. Can you guys hear me fine?
Cause I hear you fine. You do keep freezing up a bit, but I hear you fine.
We'll wait for those answers.
Oh, Kale.
Yeah, so I'm okay. Kale's in there. Audio's fine. Okay, good.
I want to get Kale back on.
That was a good one.
He's such an interesting dude, man. I'd like to see him interview Abigail Schreier.
I don't know who that is.
So she wrote the book. The first one she wrote was about young girls transitioning and how, like, these are like mainly girls. Like 20 years ago, these would have been like the goth chicks. They would have been cutters. Things like that. And now these are all chicks that are getting caught up in groupthink, and like a group of girls together will go and say they're trans. And like, it's pretty crazy. But she wrote another book just about how broken therapy is and how like the whole young generation now, like we've never had a generation of kids that are in therapy and yet they're more broken than ever. So is therapy even working? Like, what the heck is going on with therapy? Because everybody talks about mental health, but we've never had a generation so exposed to proper mental health professionals, and yet it's a total mess. So, like, it's an interesting interesting book, according, you know, that's what Kale is saying. So,
well, how do you, like, I guess I'm going to kind of reword this. If you could do it all over again, how would you educate your kids? Would you do it the same way?
No way. No way. But you got to realize my kids 20 years ago, I put them in school.
Right. Yeah.
18 years ago, you know, it was nothing like this going on at the time. And I wanted my wife to homeschool. She just didn't have the courage. Like, she's just my wife. She's not book smart. Like, she just never was. She just doesn't have the confidence to think that she's teacher material. That's all. So if we'd have done it from a young age and had a homeschooling community, I think it would have been much different. But like, this stuff all started happening. Like, my son's done with high school. My other daughter's got 1 year left, and my other daughter's got 2 years left. So it's, but I did have a priest like scold me for it. He's like, get your children out of public school. I'm like, all right. I'm like, but the Catholic school's not much better.
Right.
My wife went to Catholic. So my wife went to St. Anthony's, which is like the premier Catholic school on Long Island. And it was just as bad, if not worse, because those kids all have money. So they're doing designer drugs. Like, it was just as bad as
the public school. The Catholic schools, like in my area growing up, they were, they were, like you said, they were premier, like they were $18,000 a year high schools.
Yeah.
And everyone had money, and it was a bad recipe for sure.
Dude, that's what I mean. I think these kids, the premarital sex rate was just as high, if not higher. The drugs were worse.
Way worse.
The drugs, like, there was kids doing cocaine and heroin at school. You know,
I was gonna say, high school for me, yeah, kids did weed, but like at the private Catholic school down the road, yeah, it was cocaine.
Yeah, it's crazy because they all have money.
Mm-hmm.
This I want to touch on real quick, because
which
you have to understand how difficult as a sanguine, because I know there's other sanguines out there. Mental prayer as a sanguine is very difficult. So, because it's hard to quiet my thoughts. So like the best mental prayer I do is usually during the rosary, where, you know, like that, but Lectio Divina, I have a very difficult time with. Like, very difficult time with things like that. But I am good at like pondering things, right? Like, I'll sit and I'll ponder the mysteries of the church, and I'll ponder, like, I can do that really well. But just sitting in silence and trying to like clear my mind to let God speak to me, dude, that is so difficult for me. How do you do with that?
Pretty good. I mean, as a phlegmatic and melancholic, like, that's kind of my thing. It's a lot harder now, just with the kids time. And you know, by the time I'm able to like quiet my mind, just zonk out immediately, basically. But if you consider like the meditations you do while you pray the rosary, mental prayer, that's my favorite, I guess.
I've had like almost like nearly mystical experiences, like not like locutions or anything, right, but like nearly mystical experiences, like really meditating on the mystery of the church and just how it's Christ's body on earth and what we are as children of God. Same thing with the crowning of Our Lady in heaven, like the coronation. Like, I've had just like almost like in my imagination, these images of all of heaven rejoicing at crowning Our Lady Queen of Heaven, things like that. But that's just during the rosary. So like, I'm not really one to, because mental prayer, you know, I don't set enough time aside for it either, because I mean, look at the schedule we're running here. It's very difficult. Where, remember when we went to Pennsylvania, Eddie, my cousin Eddie, was like, well, I'm like, Eddie, how do you like, what do you think was the thing that defined you? He goes, I set aside an hour to an hour and a half every single day for mental prayer. He has his own room. He has a little sanctuary set up. He closes that door. His wife takes the kids, and he spends an hour to an hour and a half every single day in mental prayer. And I'm just like, holy cow.
If we had Eddie on some episodes, those would be amazing.
Yeah.
Like, but I know he would never do it, but those would be amazing. Dude.
He saw Eric Sammons at his church today, There was a baptism in his church. Enoch
just said that in the chat too.
Yeah. They saw Eric Sammons at in Kentucky.
You should have had them bug him on behalf of you.
So somebody just said, congrats. You highlighted the comment. Where did it go?
Which one?
Oh, Kale. Kale, it's like, speaking of how much schools cost, Kale is like, he teaches at like a premier, like, private
boarding school, right?
Yeah. He's like at a premier, like, private school, you know, and it's, yeah, but somebody said,
always respect your growing subscriber list.
Oh, so that's what they said. Okay, so I wasn't sure where they were going. Like, I saw not all Catholic shows do. So, yeah, not just like growing subscriber lists. Like, I really, that's the biggest fear, is that we'll get so big that we won't be able to like really interact with the audience. You know what I mean? And like, really, like, I don't know if I want it to get that big. Like, it's cool to watch the show grow, but like, mm-hmm. there's something cool about like us being the garage band of podcasts. And like, we're big enough that people know we're a serious show, but we're still small enough where, you know, we're not inundated where we can't answer people when they ask us stuff.
Yeah. It's that same balancing act with the money coming in too. Like, it's nice having money coming in to finally start.
Because bills.
Originally, this was just a very expensive hobby.
Can we say? Actually, I want to tell you guys when. I'm sorry, Joe. Joe, I am blowing your spot right now.
Yeah.
So, all right. So the first like 6-7 months that we were doing this, you got to realize it costs money to do this, right? You're paying for subscriptions to StreamYard. You're buying equipment to do this. We were in the hole about like $3,500. We spent like $1,700 each.
Mm-hmm.
And we get a message from Joe Diodati,
who runs our television. We happen to mention that just offhandedly one episode.
Yeah, we actually had a tip jar up. So we used to have this thing called the tip jar for the trivia episodes. And it's like, guys, we don't make anything on this. If you guys want to throw us a tip, throw us a tip. We got one tip the whole time. It was from Laura C. Yeah. We got one $20 tip or something one time. And it was, so we just mentioned, we're like, guys, we're in the hole like $3,000 here. Like, you guys got to help us out a little. Freaking Joe Diodati dumped $3,000 in that tip jar. And it was like me and Rob were getting so discouraged. Like, so discouraged, because it's like, dude, is this thing ever going to grow? Like, where is this thing? Like, what are we doing here? Oh, that is so cool, man. And that's the thing. Like, you guys got to think about what you're giving your money to anyway. And it's not like Rob and I are making money on this. Like, it really is something we're giving a lot of our time to. And we are so grateful to everybody that does that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, so Joe Diodati, just when you start doing the rat eating video, that's the other thing. Like, I keep thinking, like, should we do kind of like man on the street stuff? But I don't know. I'd have to buy the equipment, right?
I was going to say that's the thing. Like, I'd like to do stuff like that, or do, you know, do things where I take a camera and record a beautiful mass somewhere or something like
that.
Well,
I would want to go outside of New York parishes and ask people questions. Like, I want to go into Manhattan, and I want to go outside of St. Pat's Cathedral and ask people questions. And then I want to go outside of Holy Innocence and ask people questions and just see the different answers you get at a Novus Ordo versus a traditional Latin mass. And I think that would be really interesting.
And here's the longer question. Have we had any formal theology, or is it all self-taught? I mean, it's all self-taught.
I'm a high school dropout. Like,
I went to theology, public school and public college. So
my theology is, Kale, like that. Like, when you talk about, I think there's been times where I've started to get a little worn down and Rob bounces me up. And there's been times where I could tell he's getting a little drained. I'm like, come on, dude, we got to do this. Come on, man. Like, I know it sucks. And every single show that we do before we go on, you don't want to do it. It's work. And the second you get on, you're just like, this is fun, man. Like, what? Like, I've never had I've maybe one or two shows where my heart wasn't in it. Every other one was like this, this is fun. I don't know. Margo, I'll never forget about you. What does that mean? What kind of question is that?
Yeah, he's got a decent memory.
Yeah, and I'm never going to be famous. My wife said that to me the other day, because when we got the Mel Gibson interview, she's like, I'm just telling you right now, I don't have any patience for you to become famous. She's like, you better not.
We had someone come up to us at Holy Innocence.
That was crazy,
right?
But my wife's like, yeah, that's right, Don. But here's the thing. We are going to do trivia, not this week coming up, the week after. We're going to plan it, and I'm going to have, my heart will be in it. We're going to get old school guys versus new school guys. No freaking way. All right, now we got to do it. Now we have to do it. Oh, man. All right, so this is going to involve getting equipment, right? Because I can't
I think the best bet is, and I have one, it's a couple of years old, so either we use that or get a new one, but get you a GoPro.
Okay.
That maybe your son can actually record you with, and they make microphones that go on the GoPro.
Okay.
So that he, maybe your son or someone records you talking with people. That should be pretty doable.
And Don's not it's not every time we're at mass, but people do come up and say, hey dude, I've seen your show, right? I want people to do that. Like, I love that our show is catching on, right? So it's if you see me at mass, definitely come up and say hello after mass. I'm thrilled,
and I won't ever have that problem because there's 50 people at my mass.
What do you think? The whole point of this is to build build friendships, man. It's like I don't ever want it to become a community in that it's I don't want it to not like an alternate church, but I want it to become friendships, like real life friendships. So even when Rob and I met each other was such a cool thing. It's like, all right, we're friends online, but this has to be a little bit more than just we see each other on our computer screen. So we made a point to once a year, we're trying to get together and do something, Cause having real life friendship is so different from just, texting and stuff like that. So
it really is. Yeah.
So, all right. So the new school versus old school, what we're going to do is we're going to get obviously Jason and Mark, Darren and Connor maybe. And then even though Nick's been on trivia, he's really become a staple of this show. So it's going to be Nick, Josh, Charles and Hitchborn.
Verse. We're trying to get Mark, Jason and Darren probably.
And Connor. We got to have Connor too. I know Margo wants to be on. It's just a lot of people. That's the only thing. So Margo, if somebody can't make it, we'll get you in. Because scheduling might not work out. Mark and Jason, when we asked them, they were both like, I don't know.
Those two are impossible to get on.
Yeah, they don't even get on for their own show. So there's a very good chance they'll bail out. So if that happens, you're in, Margo. Margo's done. Margo's been around since the beginning. So.
Yep.
Are you two staying together? We always, our first show together, we said, look, if we ever split up, it's not going to be like TNT. It won't be that way.
If this were to legitimately start coming between our friendship, I'd quit it just to save the friendship.
Me too. Yeah, the friend, we'll never split over money. We'll never, the friendship means too much to me for it to be that,
Yeah.
It's I don't see why it would split. It doesn't, I don't see why. An on-the-spot interview with Kevin James. So.
It would be, you wouldn't want to bother him like that, but you could set it up where you interview him, at the parish. Plan it ahead of time. That would be cool, right? So you two are sitting in a pew at church.
I bothered him once after mass.
Well, yeah,
Don, but I'm saying made fun of me.
You don't want to shove a camera in his face and be like, can you answer these 10 questions?
I'm hoping that our show gets interesting enough and big enough that he sees the show and he's like, hey, dude, I saw one of your videos. That's the goal,
Enoch.
If you split up, I got dibs on Rob.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the co-sleeping was the closest we ever came, I would say that. But it was never like
12 hours after it happened.
It was never like as heated as it got. Like, it was just like, just everybody cool down. Just let it day go by. It'll be fine, you know?
And the worst part about it was like the public part of it with other people, like
the Twitter
joining
the Twitter
in on both sides, that made it worse. Right.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm no longer friends with somebody because of it. Robbie, like I'm not friends with him anymore because of it.
I didn't. Well, okay. I followed you back since then, Margo. Settle down. People, there's not a lot of questions coming in. We've kind of talked about this, but what do you think about the Book of Enoch?
I think that especially in modern times, it's probably something we all should read. Like for the how crazy the world is getting right now, I have to go back and read it again because it's been years since I did, and I didn't read it. I listened to the audiobook version of it years ago. There's a couple of good YouTube channels that like put video behind the reading of it and stuff, and that's pretty good. So I would suggest finding a channel like that if it's something you've never read before. Now it's very weird, you know, it is a very weird book, but you do have church fathers quoting it.
Well, and even the it's quoted in the New Testament too. So even though it's not scripture and shouldn't be treated as such, it was obviously valuable enough where the New Testament authors.
When St. Paul's talking about women veiling, and he's talking about so you don't tempt the angels, like that's a reference to Enoch, where the angels were tempted, you know? And it's just I'm trying. But it's he's another one that I think so many people want to get him on that I don't know. Oh, well, I don't know. I'm trying. So obviously we had Ryan Katsu-Rivera on. He's Gavin McInnes's producer and he knows Nick Fuentes. So I'm trying to go through Ryan to see if we could get that. So Rob and I met on Twitter.
Yeah,
we met on Twitter. We both liked each other on Twitter, and the
after
first
a while,
time, yeah, probably. I was a lot of people
you're,
don't like
you're overbearing first. At first,
yeah.
Like
yeah, a lot of people don't like me when they first encounter me. It takes a little time for me to grow on you, and especially on Twitter, I'm so bombastic on Twitter. It's like, guys, please don't judge me by my Twitter presence. You got to realize what I'm doing there. I'm trying to get a rise out of people. Like, that's all I'm doing. I'm trying to be funny and get a rise out of people. Like, there's never a time where I tweet something that I'm not saying it in a wise-ass, sarcastic tone. Everything I tweet is like that. Yeah, everybody hated me at first.
yeah, but then Anthony, you know, started the channel. And it was just him at first. And it was like... So I'd watch and he would premiere it and I'd be in the live chat with me, my wife, Mrs. C.
Yeah.
And maybe one or two other. There was like five.
Yeah, it would be like five people in there those first then, videos.
Then you said something about trivia.
And my what happened is my cousin's wife bought me a Catholic trivia game. And I'm like, I know I'm going to host trivia on my channel. Like nobody else is doing that. Like nobody else was doing it. And I'm like, I'm going to host a Catholic trivia show. And I put it out on Twitter. I'm like, does anybody want to play Catholic trivia? And Rob's wife was like, Rob will play. And it was him and Catholic Comedy, Steven from Catholic Comedy. That was the first episode of trivia. And I liked Rob so much that I called him the next day and I asked him to join the channel.
You called me at 7 a.m. on Saturday.
Yep. It was literally 7 a.m. on my time. So it was 6 a.m. by you time.
Yep.
That's always a tricky thing for us.
Yeah.
Because I would prefer to go 7 p.m. Eastern because then it would give me a little leeway to like go to bed at an early time. But Rob has to do things with his family. So because
that's six for me. So like we're eating dinner and stuff like
dinner
that.
Time. And so it's tricky for both of us, which is, we compromise with 8 p.m., which means the nights that we do the show, I'm a bag of garbage the next day at work. yeah, it's I think you were too, Mac. Like, you have been around since the beginning. Yeah, because I remember, right. like, Max sent us DMs early on. He's like, guys, I see the show's getting a little bit bigger. Please stay yourselves, man.
And that,
like,
was with 300 subs.
Yeah. He's like, dude, like, I really like the show. Please don't change, man. But Mac has been around since the beginning. Margo has been around since the beginning. Laura C has been around since the beginning. Some people have just been around forever. And even you guys who, like, just recently discovered our show, like, yeah, Margo was on Catholic Trivia. But, like, even you guys that just recently discovered the show, like, I'm always curious how people come across us. It's very interesting to me. Thank you, Ivana. It's interesting to me how people come across us. Like, I get the last couple of videos we put out got, like, 30, like, the what's his name video?
The Kevin James short guy.
Yeah, that one got a lot.
Well, Russell Brand,
that was the one. That one got like 35,000 views. So we still haven't had a video that hit 50,000.
Not yet.
We still do not have a single video that hit 50,000. So I went and I was looking through other channels today. So I'm like, all right, well, where do we stand up against, like, the other Catholic YouTubers, right? So you get into guys like Taylor and Fred, right? They have videos with 250,000 views on them, 100,000 views on them. Like, those guys are in a totally different realm than us. But when you look at, like, even Tim Gordon, Michael Lofton.
Lofton has a couple with 250,000 views, too.
He does have a couple, but his regular shows, like a regular Taylor Marshall show is going to do 75,000. A regular Matt Frad video is going to do 75 to 100,000. Those guys are getting those views regularly, where... for us, thank you, Max. So for us, a regular stream is getting about 4,000 now. Like, that's your typical stream of ours. It gets about 4,000. Then you get some of those that, like, those clips that will go 10, go 15, go 20 now. But that wasn't happening before. Like, the first one that we had that went that high was the Michael Voris clip.
That was the first to hit 20.
Yeah, our first one to hit 10 was Father Isaac. Then the first one to hit 20 was Michael Voris, and that was with Kale.
That was with Kale. That's right. Kale,
you were with us on that clip. The first clip that we had that hit 20,000, that Voris clip that we put out, and then this past week or two, we've had the algorithm just picked up on our channel.
Yeah,
it went from the Eric Ibarra hit 20,000, then right back to back we had the Russell Brand clip went to 30. Then we had the Kevin James clip that I posted as a short. That thing did like 40,000-50,000. Mm-hmm. And then just yesterday, the Eric Weinstein clip did 10.
Yep.
So it's that means the YouTube algorithm is picking us up. So, all right. So we have 118 on YouTube, but there's another 160 or 80 on Twitter. Then that means
there's 115 on yours, 55 on mine, 21 on the Avoiding Babylon account.
Okay. Yeah. Cause we have 310 people watching live right now.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised at how many people actually watch us on Twitter. It's pretty interesting.
That's going up pretty fast actually. So that's cool.
I'm trying to think. The only thing I actually watch on Twitter is Tucker. I mean, I'll watch clips, right? But I don't like if Taylor Marshall has a video, I'm not watching that on Twitter. I'll go to his YouTube channel.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll go watch on his YouTube because I don't know why. I just do.
I'm just more used to the interface, probably.
Yeah. I think, especially for me while I'm driving, I have my iPad set up and it's easier. I don't know. I just like it better. Joseph Modduck discovered, Anthony mentions his conversion story once per episode, but that's good.
I've always been Catholic. I don't have a reversion story in the sense like I converted to another faith and then came back. So I grew up Catholic, had a very good, parish. My parish actually was one with an indult Latin Mass, but the parish had two sides. It had the Latin Mass side and the Novus Ordo side. And like my family was on the Novus Ordo side. So I didn't grow up with the Latin Mass, but it was still very traditional in that it had for Saturday devotions, a Fatima youth group, things like that. So grew up in the faith pretty strongly. Some of my favorite memories are like praying the rosary with my grandparents and going to adoration with my grandparents and stuff like that. But then I went to college and, you know, did what so many kids do and just, you know, fell in with the world basically. And, more or less was away from the sacraments from like 18, 19 until 29, 30. And what it was that got me back was my wife got pregnant and just the knowledge of having, a soul that was going to be depending on me. And like, I never stopped believing any of the Catholic faith while I was away. You know, I believed at that time that if I died, I believed I was going to hell. I was just mid 20s and figured I had 70 years until I was going to die, you know?
Yeah. Mine was pretty similar.
That stupid, you know, kind of invincible feeling a guy has when he's in his mid 20s. But then when I realized I had another soul depending on me to help them get to heaven, it really just hit home and I knew I had to get back into it. And yeah, so that's that.
Real quick, what happened with our Twitter comments? Remember we used to get comments from Twitter. If you guys are watching on Twitter, leave a comment. Let me see if we see it.
I've seen one this episode.
Oh, okay. Cause I mean, we do, if I see a comment from Twitter, I'll highlight it. I haven't seen them lately.
I've seen a couple. I don't watch on Twitter. So I don't know how it, even leaving a comment works.
Let me see. I'm going to go on Twitter. This is the worst show ever.
Thanks.
Let's go on Twitter and let's see if I can. All right, wait. I hate hearing my voice. Hang on. If I see a comment from Twitter, I'll highlight it. I hate my voice. All right, so let's see. Say something. Can you see this?
Top notch content here, guys.
Yes, I see it. Oh, look at that guy.
Oh my gosh. So Modern Papist is asking if we can pray for a safe
delivery. Absolutely, man. Oh man, she's freshy pregnant, huh?
Everyone's coming with better conversion stories for me than I did.
For you. Better conversion stories for you. Yeah, I think we both went through that phase where we weren't atheists. We just lived as though God wasn't real.
Yeah. Or like, lived like we had a lot of time left anyways.
Yeah. Just so I'm just not going to think about God. I'm just going to let's keep him at a distance right now. I'm having too much fun with my lower faculties right now. I'm not really paying attention to him.
Yep. There's a child.
There's a child.
Here's Iggy. Come here, Iggy.
For anyone who's been around the channel for a while, you'll know Iggy, but for anyone new, this is Ignatius. Dada. Yes, Iggy. Are you saying hi to everyone?
Hello. What's up, Biggie?
say hi, Anthony.
Hi.
Tony.
Tone.
Tone. That's perfect.
Tone. Perfect. Okay. Can you go to Mama now? I'll be done soon, okay? And there's the wife, Hope.
So, all right. So I have to actually get going to the aquarium. Oh, yeah, I have my nephew and niece twins, their birthday, and I have to drive a half hour away to go to the aquarium for their birthday. Already better English than me. And then tomorrow, I have my mom's house for my birthday.
Fun.
So all I can say is, man, I am so grateful to all of you that tuned in. I'm extremely grateful to all of the people who gave us super chats. Hey Hauk, that was unbelievably generous of you, and I'm going to see how we can figure that out. So yeah, Rob, we have to figure that out. Then so what we'll do is once we get the equipment, the GoPro and the microphone and stuff, we'll ask you guys we'll do that in locals. We'll have a local show and we'll say, okay, what kind of questions should I ask?
What do you mean?
Like, I think I'd want to ask young people their thoughts on marriage coming out of the Novus Ordo versus young people coming out of the traditional mass. Like, try to find kids in their 20s.
Yeah.
And ask them questions on marriage.
Or another good one would be, figure out when like a local Novus Ordo parish is having RCIA and go there when they're getting out and see what they're learning.
Oh man, that's actually so shady. So sneaky. It's like, okay, what'd you guys learn in RCIA tonight? Well,
it doesn't have, like, I'm not trying to pick on the Novus Ordo.
No. It's just a matter of catechesis. Like, are they learning the faith? That's what you want.
And it's mostly that.
Okay. So less than that, I'd rather see people's moral compass. Right. So I think it's pretty obvious when you have somebody leaving the traditional mass, they're going to have a traditional Catholic understanding of things. But I think, you're going to find young people to Novus Ordo, but I would like to see people, because you always see those Pew studies where it's like 90% of people that go to the Novus Ordo support birth control, support abortions. But I'd like to hear it and just really see people that go to mass on a typical Sunday, not Easter Sunday. Like, you just want to pick a random Sunday that's nothing special, no special holiday, and see who goes there. Those people, or even a holy day of obligation. Then you get the cream of the crop in the Novus Ordo.
Right. That's very true.
Go to a holy day of obligation and find out the real Catholics that are practicing the faith, not just going to church for heaven insurance.
Another good one would be, you know, going to a normal parish, finding someone, you know, ask them, have you ever been to a traditional Latin mass? You know, like, would you go with me next week? And then like videotape them at the mass, the Latin mass, and then ask them a few questions after about their thoughts. You'll find people that have never been to one.
Yeah. I'm in RCIA with the Institute, and the Nature of God the Father and Aquinas is 5-1. Like that, my wife went through RCIA at that same liberal parish that didn't let me pick my confirmation name because I didn't know any better at the time, right? Like, I just knew my wife had to be Catholic. It's you got to become like we were going to church together and she wasn't allowed to receive. And I'm like, Nicole, like, you can't, like, you're coming to church. Like, our kids need to see us united in the faith. She's like, okay, fine. I'll become Catholic. You know? So it was like her doing it because I said at first, and it wasn't until later on, my wife had like a real conversion and believed the faith and stuff. She just did it out of obedience to her husband at first. And, I mean, she believed in God. She just, Catholics in cars going to church say like comedians in cars getting coffee. But yeah, so my wife's, I wonder if she'd ever come on and tell her. So I don't know. She doesn't like anything I do here.
She doesn't even like that's because of some of the stories you tell.
That's honestly why. She really does like, so she really doesn't like that I tell personal stuff on here. I'm like, it's like she's that's her thing. So Phil Manthony getting pulled up by a female cop. But she really doesn't like that I tell personal stories on here, right? And
yeah,
I just banned her from watching. Like, I don't care what you are comfortable with. Like, you're just not allowed to watch anymore. So if there's something I think she will like, I'll say, okay, watch this, you know? And then every time I do that, I still said something personal. And then she's like, why are you telling people that about me? When I told the story of her peeing, no idea. Gonna look it up like Lanza. Oh, dude,
for the temperament show.
No, not even that. The show where it was me and my boat. Remember me and my boat? It was
I remember Brown, that one.
And I was in my boat, and my wife comes home from the neighbor's house after having two glasses of wine, and she's just like, "Hi, Rob!" Like all in the. I'm like, "Who is this person?" Like she. If I give my wife a drink or two, she'll come down and she won't shut up. Like she'll just, that sanguine in her will come out. Happy that your show is growing. What did that say? You made it as a place for all of us to get together as a big extended Catholic family. It's awesome, even though it's online. Love it. Yeah, that's generally the feel. I think people that watch our show tend to feel like they're just hanging with their friends. I mean, this was just a nonsense show. There's no topic specifically. It was just a nonsense show, right? It's pretty good to know that. Yes, it is. I literally have to go, but it's nice to know that we could just jump on without a topic, and our friendship's good enough that we could just wing it.
Yeah, these are some of the fun, the most fun shows.
What body is Anthony dumping in the aquarium? We're both highlighting it at the same time. So it keeps going up. Remember we used to do that on trivia? And eventually I was just like, all right, you run the comments.
Like, yeah, we would do but then 5 minutes later, you do it again.
Yeah, because I it was just out of instinct, you know? Yeah. But like it got to a point where I just remember, I was like, all right, you take care of the comments. Just go ahead. Like, I'm like... So now when we do a show, like if a comic gets highlighted, 99% of the time it's Rob. Once in a while, I'll pull one up because usually I'm like focused on the guest and stuff like that. But Rob typically highlights the comments. But all right, dude, I really do have to go. My wife's texting me.
Okay. And, sounds good.
But guys, thank you so much. Like every single one of you, man, like this has been such an awesome experience and we're looking forward to making it grow more. We have some really interesting ideas coming up, some interesting things for locals, especially. So if you guys aren't on our locals, please consider joining. We do try to give you guys a couple of things on locals every month that you don't get on YouTube. And the last thing we did, I told a very personal story. And pretty soon, maybe I'll tell the story about the inheritance again. That's a good one to tell. I told that on the locals when I have a couple of beers.
You've told it once or twice, actually, on the locals. Yeah.
I told it on locals when I was having a couple of drinks. All right, take us out, dude. Thank you, guys.
Unite the clans. Enoch. Let's go. Yo, yo, take me back to my reversion. Unite the clans, I give thanks to each person. Succeed.